get ready for the hottest talk show of the year, Crime Time Live, with your host, renowned attorney Scott Weinberg. Brought to you live by Clear Channel Radio and syndicated nationally on TalkZone.com. Discuss all the sizzling hot cases making headline news today and how you can protect your rights. And now, here's your host, Scott Weinberg.
Good morning. Oh, man. Go blue, baby. Beautiful morning here in absolutely gorgeous Michigan. We got a great show looking for you. Looking up to come up on this great radio station, AM 1310. A 14-year-old raped and beat a 64-year-old woman, and now he's going to prison for almost 30 years. We'll look at that horrific case. And three more teens charged with sexual assault on a girl at a homecoming just this past week. That makes us ask the question, should teens be held to the same standard when they commit terrible crimes as adults? We'll be getting to that question. And what about our schools? Are our schools safe? You know, 13 schools in Texas receive white powder in the mail and shut down. A gunman shoots up an elementary school. The question here today, we ask, how can we protect our kids in school without putting armed guards at every corner? You call us at 248-848-1310. We'll get to those questions. And how about the stalking, the harassing, the bullying of a student? If you're Assistant Attorney General for the state of Michigan, should we be fired? We'll get to that case, too, of Assistant AG Andrew Shrivel. And what is going on with the Attorney General's office? Plus, we might have a real treat. We might have the Democratic nominee for Attorney General, David Layton, on here later in the show to ask questions to figure out what is in store with Michigan AG's office. So tuned in for that. Plus, your calls, whatever else comes up here on Crime Time Live. I'm your host, Scott Weinberg, coming to you live on AM 1310, Clear Channel Radio's Progressive Talk, and syndicated all over this great country online on TalkZone.com. Stay tuned for a great show. Don't touch that dial. Be right back.
Been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 right now.
Don't stop. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned play? As we grow up, being physically active often changes somehow from playing to exercising. Play is fun. Exercise, well, for many of us, that's not fun. And without play, we quit being active, so we get out of shape and start gaining weight. But new reports call on us to be physically active for the sake of our health, so what can we do? At the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, Executive Director Melissa Johnson says it's simple. Get on your walking shoes and go for a walk, or do something else you enjoy.
A lot of sedentary or deconditioned people haven't yet experienced the good feeling of just movement. And once that becomes familiar to them, they don't want to stop.
Federal officials recommend 30 minutes of moderate activity on most, if not all, days of the week as a minimum for good health. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Sentenced to, can you believe this? Was sentenced to 28 years in prison. He was 14, Alex Ramirez, when he beat, robbed, and raped a 64-year-old woman. He lived near the house. He stood trial as an adult. And that's one of the questions we want to get here today. Should these kids, that's really what they are. I mean, if you got a 14-year-old kid, you know he's a kid. I mean, there might be mature ones, but whatever's going on with that, they might commit terrible crimes. And the question is, should they be charged and tried as an adult? He pled no contest and was found guilty of assault in August. Now he faced up to 83 years in prison. The judge gave him 28. Prior to sentence, Ramirez and his mother and his victims and the sons all made statements to the judge. Basically, their hearts went out to him, and they realized, obviously, what a terrible, terrible crime the guy committed. The complainant offered him $5. It was all she had. $5 to be able to get out of it. A diamond ring so he wouldn't rape her. Offered him his charge card so he wouldn't do it. Unfortunately, he didn't comply. Ramirez, speaking public for the first time, did not ask for mercy. He didn't ask for any leniency, but he did apologize for what he did. What I can do, I can't make her stop suffering. That's what he told the court. I can't live with myself. I hate myself. I can't change what I did. And yes, people are going to look at me as a monster. But you know what? Here, he's taking his punishment. He's going to prison for 28 years. We want to ask the question, what is it about? What is it about a teenager that he could commit that kind of crime? And should he go to prison as an adult, or should they actually keep him in the juvenile detention facilities? You can call us and you can join this conversation. 248-848-1310. That's 248-848-1310. Because I don't have that answer. I don't know. I've prosecuted cases when I was a prosecutor and had them charged as adults. I've defended thousands of cases where kids and their teens are charged as juveniles and charged as adults. It sometimes depends, obviously, on what kind of crime it is. If it's a murder case or a life felony, a rape, an arson, they can go down here in Michigan as low as 14. But you know what? It's not an automatic thing. They have to get permission, and they have to, what's called, have a waiver hearing. It's not just the prosecutor's discretion. So you got to let us know, what do you think? What do you think? Should they be charged as adults, or should they be charged as juveniles? You make the call at 248-848-1310. We also had three teens charged in a sexual assault after a homecoming dance. We got to hear about this. Three teens were charged Friday with criminal sexual conduct in the assault of a 14-year-old girl at Melvindale Hotel after a homecoming dance last week. The 17-year-old male from Detroit has been charged with third-degree criminal sexual conduct. And for those that don't know what they did, there's four different degrees of criminal sexual conduct. The first one is a life felony that can put you up to life in jail. The second and the third are 15-year felonies. And the fourth is what's called a high court misdemeanor. This guy is charged with third-degree criminal sexual conduct. A 16-year-old male, Detroit, and a 16-year-old male from Southfield, they've been charged, too, with two counts of third-degree criminal sexual conduct, but they're charged as juveniles. So they charge the 16-year-old as juveniles and the 17-year-old as an adult. And believe me, those are going to be totally different types of processes. The two are expected to have court appearances in the juvenile detention facility. Prosecutors are waiting for another 17-year-old who's charged as an adult, the 17-year-old, to turn himself in. Oh, they don't even have this guy yet. And so they're waiting for him to be arraigned. According to police, a 14-year-old girl left the Melvindale High School homecoming dance, went to a hotel where she was given alcohol and sexually assaulted. The alleged facts in this case are compelling and an illustration how things should never, ever mix. Reckless adolescence, liquor, and no parental supervision. That's what the Wayne County prosecutor said. You know, we've had Kim Worthy on this show before, and she tries to be fair, but you know, let me tell you, it's a difficult thing when you've got parents or you've got people that are basically trying to get you to charge, whether it's permissive or not, whether this child is, if she's under 16, if she gave him permission to have any kind of sexual conduct or not, it is in this state statutory rape. I'm going to say that again. It's statutory rape. We call it basically criminal sexual conduct, but that's what it is. The age of consent, you write this down. The age of consent in Michigan is 16. So if you have any teenagers and they're having any kind of sexual conduct and they're 15, but they might be sophomores, they're under 16, it's a crime. Not just for the ones that are the guys. It's a crime for the girls too. Come on, people, you got to be educated. Under 16 is a crime for either kid. It doesn't matter if you gave him permission. It doesn't matter if they're boyfriend or girlfriend. It is a crime. And our kids have to be educated about what the age of consent is. I'm not saying they're not going to do it. You know, I'm a parent too. I'm not saying they're not going to do any type of sexual conduct We were all teenagers too. What I'm saying is they've got to be educated that it's a crime. I mean, they've got to know what the age of consent is. I'm not saying for 16-year-olds to go have sex. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying they've got to know that that is the legal age. You want to talk about it, you call me at 248-848-1310, and you tell me whether or not you agree with that. Should the legal age be 16? Should parents be allowing anything like that to happen if their kids are 16? Because here, after this homecoming, allegations regarding adult supervision at the hotel are in question. It's being investigated by the prosecutor. Police say there were four rooms rented at the hotel room after the homecoming dance, but the students were connected to the party. They have a policy at the hotel to only rent from the people 21. So should you be liable? Should you be held accountable if you're a parent and you rent a hotel room for your homecoming kids? Should you be liable if there's some sexual assault or alcohol going on there, like hosting a party at your house? Well, that's another question that you can call me at 248-848-1310. 248-848-1310. Because we have to protect the kids, but, you know, we got to do it responsibly and legally, too. I mean, what do we do about our schools? What? How do we protect the kids in the schools if we can't protect them while they're even at school? Did you hear about this in Texas? The 13 Texas schools that received envelopes with white powder in it? Is that unbelievable? Just like they do in Washington, they're sending this white powder to the schools to scare the whole school. 13 schools in Houston area received suspicious envelopes with white powder inside. Now, they say the substance does appear to be dangerous, offensive, doesn't appear to be drugs. But you don't know. And they, of course, what happens is they shut down the school. Heck, it could have been someone who didn't want to go to a final or a test that day. But that's not the point. The point is, how do we protect it? Let's say it was anthrax. How are we supposed to know? The envelopes contained less than a teaspoon of white powder and were addressed to the schools without any note inside. So, of course, they got the calls. They shut down the schools. They were dismissed from the school, but they had to show up the next day. Should we have some other protections for these schools? Should we protect people from that kind of terror when we don't even know what's in the envelope? You call me at 248-848-1310, and then you go to California with a school shooting. So how are we supposed to protect our kids if we don't even know someone's going to show up to the school with a gun? A gunman faced 6 counts of attempted murder after he opened fire at an elementary school in Southern California and injured 2 students. They were, of course, just outside for lunch. Now, what a nightmare for a parent. You send your kid to school thinking they're safe, and a gunman shows up at the school and starts shooting bullets all over. How are we supposed to protect these kids? Envelopes with potential hazardous material in it? Gunmen coming to the schools? What are we supposed to do? Should we have armed guards at every corner of a school? Is that the answer? Is that how we have to protect our kids with armed guards? Is that going too far? The suspect's vehicle was parked near the school. All officers found a handgun and a propane tank inside the car. Of course, the bomb squad was called. The school was shut down. Kids were injured. The suspect was taken to the hospital and charged with attempted murder. I don't know if there's any way to protect our schools without basically making them into jails. Is that what we want, people? Is that what we want? Do we want to make our schools into jails? Is that the only way to protect our kids? Because I don't know if there's any other way to do it other than to put a guard at the school and protect them that way. Caller, what do you got to say? You're here on 1310 AM on Crime Time Live. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you now.
What's your name, sir?
Dave.
Hey, Dave, what do you got to say about that? Is that what we got to do to protect our kids, is put armed guards at the schools?
Well, it's it's kind of crazy. I think a lot of the problem is not only do we have to have security at schools, we just have to make our kids aware.
Well, how do we make them aware? How do we protect them if someone's going to come to the school with a gun?
Well, that's something that I don't know what you can say in that. You can tell them, hey, you know, you got to think along those lines. There's always a possibility of this stuff happening. I don't know. What do we do as a society? Start arming our teachers? I mean, you know, I don't know if that would be good either. But how are you going to prevent this? Tougher gun laws? That doesn't seem to be working.
I don't know if tougher gun laws prevent nutcases that are going to ever come to our schools and try to shoot up, whether it's a teacher or a disgruntled employee. I don't know if that's ever going to take place. I think that, you know, the gun laws, listen, most of the time you have law-abiding citizens going and getting their CCWs, and they're doing what they have to do to try to protect themselves under the Second Amendment. But you know what? Those aren't always the crazies coming in these schools. Those aren't the ones going to bars, shooting them up. These are the people.
I have a permit to carry myself.
Yeah, I bet you're educated about it.
Well, it's almost a permit to carry nowhere because there's so many restrictions on it. It's really difficult. You have to be very careful. And I guess there's some evidence along those lines, too, that, you know, that most people that have a permit to carry are responsible people. It's the ones that aren't. You know, that don't have the permit, that, you know, the mental cases.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it's true. It really gives, thanks for calling, it really gives the law-abiding citizens who actually go to classes, they're the ones that are educated on how to properly use a gun, how to store it, where to keep it in your car, if you ever have gun in your car. They get the laws down. And they're the ones that basically they get turned out to not... They're not believed when they say, hey, that we aren't the people you have to worry about. It's the ones in the streets that are buying them illegally. Those are the ones that we have to worry about. We have a real treat today. We're going to be joined by someone that I really think that you have to consider in this race for attorney general. He wears a white cap at night as a high school referee, but during the day, he tries to be the white knight prosecuting crime as the elected prosecutor of Genesee County. And that is really where David Layton has tried to make a difference. Now, as the Democratic nominee for attorney general here in Michigan, David Layton says he's ready for a new challenge on a statewide office. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Scott. Good to be with you.
David, tell us about this political crimes task force. And I've been reading about this. I want you to describe, how do you propose that it's going to end corruption in state and local government?
Well, in the Attorney General's office, we're going to start a political corruptions division, and we're going to make it a priority to root out any and all corruption by elected officials or government bureaucrats. You know, I'm the only prosecutor running for attorney general. I'm the only one in the race who's actually prosecuted a criminal case, in my case, 20,000 of them, over the last 5.5 years with a 95% conviction rate. And some of those cases have been public corruption cases. Nothing does more damage to the citizenry's confidence in its own government than corruption. So we've got to root it out. We've got to make sure that we start to reconnect the voters to the government so they have confidence that we're working for them and that the government is not just working for the insiders, if you will.
You know, we were talking on the show about Proposal 2 to Michigan State's Constitution, where they're trying to expand or broaden the types of conviction that disqualifies someone from legislative service. How does that work into your political crimes task force?
Well, part of my government reform plan is to shake up Lansing, and Lansing doesn't work for the people. It needs to work for the people, not for special interests, not for the insiders. So I have a 5-point reform plan that I've come out with, and one of the reforms is the Public Corruption Division within the Attorney General's office. Another one, which I think will allow the voters to realize that I mean business and I want to make Lansing work for the people, is I'm calling upon all the legislators who go to Lansing and serve a few years and walk out of there with lifetime health care benefits that you and I are paying for. I'm calling on them to end that. Let's stop that. I've asked my challenger, my Republican opponent, Bill Schuette, I've said, give up your lifetime health care benefits that you walked out of Lansing with. And, of course, he's refused to do that. I've also challenged him to give up 10% of his paycheck if he were to get elected to this position. He refused to do that as well. So these are government reforms designed to get the public awareness that we're there. I mean business. I'm going to work for the people, not for the insiders, and certainly not for the special interests like banks and credit card companies and insurance companies.
Yeah, I want to get back to something you mentioned because, you know, I'm a criminal lawyer. I used to be a prosecutor at Carmelinga for years. And, you know, when you have a prosecutor that, like you, actually takes on cases and prosecutes, it's not just a figurehead where, you know, there's many prosecutors are like that. They don't try any cases. But when you have a prosecutor that actually has taken on cases, it's really different than someone in politics who's coming in and taking a figurehead like the Attorney General's office. I mean, you really know, you got to know what goes into prosecuting a case to run an office like that.
That's very, very true. And the difference between me and my opponent could not be clearer. I, as I mentioned, had the 20,000 cases under my belt in the last 5.5 years, 95% conviction rate. My opponent, zero cases, zero conviction rate. In fact, he's never tried a single case in a courtroom ever. I don't even think he's represented a client in a courtroom, and, you know, even in a motion hearing. But here's something that you're so right about. I have actually tried cases as the elected prosecutor, and the one that comes to mind is just within a last couple of years, I handled a case against a man named Kevin Lee Thomas, who was a serial rapist. He was abducting women at the malls in Genesee County and kidnapping them and taking them to a remote location in Shiawassee County where he would rape them. And he was on the loose for about 10 days till we caught him. And during that 10-day period, the malls in Genesee County were open. But I can tell you, Scott, nobody was shopping. And I took that case personally. I convicted him of all 18 counts. I met with the jury afterwards, as we're allowed to do sometimes, and the juror said, you had an excellent case. You presented it very well. And it was very clear that this individual needed to be put away for the rest of his life, which the judge did. He's doing about 60 years in a remote prison in the UP. And this guy was scary. You can look him up on Otis, Kevin Lee Thomas. I personally convicted him of those atrocious crimes.
You know, some of the judge, we're talking here with David Layden, who's Genesee County prosecutor running for attorney general. He's the Democratic nominee. Some judges, and I know that you hear this, but some judges complain that the current state attorney general's office suffers from competence or training or morale. What are these legitimate criticisms of the current administration, and how would you change it?
Well, we're certainly going to do things differently than what's going on for the last 8 years. I mean, I'm going to Lansing, Scott, to represent ordinary citizens. The Attorney General should give a voice to the voiceless. He should be there for the individuals who, you know, need help because they're just not getting a fair shake. That's the real job of the Attorney General. And what we've seen and what my opponent certainly offers is more of the same, and that's representing insurance companies, representing banks, representing credit card companies. When Bill Schuette was in the state Senate, he voted to allow credit card companies to charge upwards of 25% interest on an unpaid monthly balance, which didn't even include the multiple fees that the credit card companies are allowed to charge, while at the same time supporting a 38% pay increase for himself because he said politicians needed a higher salary to attract better candidates. So there's this tremendous distinction between what you have now, what you get with the Republicans, and what I offer, which is representation for ordinary Michigan citizens. That's who the Attorney General should be, and that's what kind of service I will offer.
You know, it's amazing. We're making national headlines, as always, for the wrong reasons. What about this new debacle with the Assistant Attorney General, Andrew Chervel, who's accused of stalking and harassing that openly gay University of Michigan student? Wouldn't that be one of the abuses you talked about, just not having control of your own assistants? How is that possible? This guy still has a job.
Well, it's despicable that he still has a job. I was the first public official in Michigan to call for his firing. If I were the Attorney General now, he would have been fired immediately. What he did was conduct that is just so reprehensible. I think it borders on the criminal, and it's certainly a violation of the Civil Service Code because it's conduct unbecoming of a state employee. It's ludicrous that the Attorney General would allow this man to continue to receive a generous taxpayer-funded salary while gay-bashing a University of Michigan student. And we have to put this into context. This person is an assistant attorney general on a college student who happens to be the new president of the University of Michigan student body and happens to be openly gay, and he's picking on a college student by blogging against him and posting this hatred type of speech, swastikas on his picture. I've never seen anything that has outraged me so much, and I called on my opponent again, join me in asking that Attorney General Cox fire him, and my opponent, Mr. Schutte, said, well, I have to think about this a little further. It's a First Amendment-protected speech. Hate speech is not protected by the First Amendment, and this is hate speech in its worst form.
You know, David Layton, it's one of the things that is just endemic in this state. It's so much perception. It's just like Kwame Kilpatrick in Detroit. It's how the world and how the country perceives Michigan, and it's just they come up on these unique kind of irresponsible, even criminal cases that somehow they think that represents the state of Michigan, and it's the perception that just drives me nuts.
Well, that's right, and we need to change that, and we can begin to change that through my government reform package. A couple of the other points, I touched on a few, the public corruption. I touched on the 10% pay decrease voluntarily for all electeds, including myself, and the lifetime health care benefits. Couple others. Every elected should put his income tax return on the table every year and his assets. We need to know who you're working for. Are you working for the chemical companies that dominate your stock portfolio? Or are you working for the people? And lastly, but certainly very important, we need to end that revolving door between the legislature and the lobbyists. Right now, you can serve in the legislature, walk out that revolving door, and 5 minutes later, you're back in lobbying the very same colleagues you just left. I'm calling for a 2-year ban on that. It would make Michigan the strictest in the nation. Now, you should know that a couple of weeks ago, I debated my opponent.